We thank God for bringing us to His presence tonight. Amen. I surrender all. Amen. Myself, Lord, unto thee. Fill me with thy love. Is this your prayer tonight? Oh, I surrender. Oh, the joy full salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus, I surrender all. We sing the chorus again. Hallelujah, I surrender. To demon, amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight, Lord. We are so grateful unto thee, O Jesus, for granting us the grace, Lord, for the privilege, O God, to come before your presence tonight. Father, we are surrendering everything unto thee, O Lord. Father, we have come before thee, Lord, with all our burdens, O Jesus. Lord Jesus, our troubles, our pain, anything, oh God, that we are going through, Lord, we have come before thee tonight, Lord, and we are laying it at your feet, oh Jesus. We know you are the only one that can turn on the light. Have mercy upon each and every one of us tonight, oh God, as we worship before thee, Lord. May we never go back the same, oh Jesus. Have mercy tonight. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Hymn number 58. We sing hymn number 584. All hail King Jesus. Amen.
Sing it to him. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star. Eternity, I want to praise him, and forevermore
and forevermore I will praise His name. Hallelujah. Amen. We have brethren who wants prayers. This is from Brother Tim. Says, please pray for a co-worker in the mental hospital for stress. There are many issues he must be set free from. But only if he lets the Lord take control. He needs more faith and asks for God's prayer. God bless you. Amen. Please pray for Brother Elijah and Sister Esther's newborn baby, who the doctors say has a heart problem. The couple is in Kenya. God bless you. And no name. We ask Brother Team to commit these prayers, the tithes and the offering to the Lord. Amen.
As unspoken prayer requests. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're so glad and thankful, Lord, that we can go to a God that hears us, O Lord, and loves us so much that He would want to meet our needs, O Lord. No matter how small they may seem in our eyes, O Father, that He thinks they're so important. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for coming down, O Father, and shedding your blood on Calvary, O Lord, that we might have a way, O Father. Lord, you give us strength when we need it. You give us encouragement when we need it, O Father. Faith when we need it, O Lord Jesus. Lord, you are the fountain of all good gifts and heavenly things, O Lord. And Lord Jesus, we look to you this evening, O Lord, asking forgiveness of our sins, O Lord Jesus, as we approach your throne of grace and mercy. Lord Jesus, many hands, O Father, raised, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, we lift up our hands because we know you're our prayer-answering God. And Lord, you are a provider for our needs, dear Lord. And so we ask for your help, O Lord, for each of the prayer requests, each hand that was lifted up, O Father. Lord Jesus, some prayer requests, O Lord, a couple in Kenya, Elijah and Esther, O Lord, their baby needs prayer, O Father. Lord Jesus, they are looking to you because they know that you're the only one that can move on the scene and help the situation. Lord Jesus, may you move down, O Father, in your own special way and touch the little child. Lord Jesus, yes, there is a friend, O Father, that needs you, O Father. Lord, talking to him, O Lord, he is a Christian, O Father, but he needs help, O Lord. He needs faith, O Lord. He needs your overcoming power in his situation, O Father. He feels like there's no way out, O Lord. But Lord Jesus, you make a way of escape when there seems to be no way. Lord Jesus, help this precious brother, O Father. May you give him strength, O Lord. May you give him encouragement, O Lord. May you give him faith, dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, this service is in your hands, O Father, your people. O Lord, how we adore you and praise you and love you, O Lord. And Lord, we want you to speak to us tonight, O Father, and encourage us, O Lord. Give us strength so that we can continue on the journey, O Lord. Not survive, O Lord, but walk in victory, dear Father. Lord Jesus, touch Brother Michael, O Father. Give him strength, O Lord. Lead him, O Father. Let him yield to your spirit, O Lord. Lord Jesus, to musicians, O Lord. Lord, bring us to the spirit of worship, O Father, so that the word just comes in such a way, dear Lord. Bless them and touch the man of God in the back, O Father. May you use him, O Lord. May he yield himself to you, dear Lord. Lord, the tithes and the offering, may they be used for your kingdom and your glory. For we ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. How many love the man from Galilee? Amen. The man from Galilee, number 1 to 5. Amen. I love the man from Galilee, for his death so very much for me. His forgiving all my sins, praise the Holy Ghost with me. Oh, I love Galilee. In the manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him at the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Galilee. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For his death, so very much for me. His forgiving of my sin, praise the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in a temple there one day. He cried, oh Lord, be merciful to me. He was forgiven of every sin, and a deepest came within. That come see this man from Galilee. Hallelujah. I love that man from Galilee. For his death so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Praise the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame was made to walk. The dam was made to talk. The pipe was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know could only be mercy of that man from Galilee. Hallelujah! Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Amen! For he is there so very much for me. His forgiven all my sins. Praise the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Nicodemus came by night to know the way of right. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? By the Spirit, all that man from Galilee. Oh, I love. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. He's there so very much for me. His work. We sing the chorus again. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For his death. Who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see it now. Who I am, part of my Savior, a part of this world, is revelation, predestination of who I am. Hallelujah! Who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see it now. Who I am, part of my Savior. I'm a part of his word. It's a revelation, predestination of who I am. Oh, glorious victory, that day he set me free.
and make my heart His very throne.
Hallelujah!
I'm a prisoner of love divine, and now I live to praise His name.
Hallelujah!
Who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see it now. Who I am, oh, part of my Savior. I'm a part of His word, His revelation, predestination of who I am. On Calvary He died to redeem His lost bride. The King of Kings became my Savior. The spirit of love expressed to me Christ and I, mighty one. Oh, who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see now. Part of my Savior, I'm a part of His word. It's a revelation, predestination. Sing it again. Oh, who I am, Lord. Oh, who I am. I can see it now. Who I am. Part of my Savior. I'm a part of His word. It's a revelation. Predestination. Who I am. Oh, who I am, Lord. Oh, who I am. I can see Him now, who I am. Part of my Savior, a part of this world. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sound goes down. Hallelujah, oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noon time, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Original life, original sea, original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is even seven seas is some original life. It's original. Amen. Original life. Let's sing it. Hallelujah. Original word is what I believe. Son of Man is driven, seven seals, says I'm there. Oh, one more time. Original lie. Original sin. Original way. Praise the Lord. Original. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
As we change the order of the service,
sing, I love him. I love him because he first loves me. Love me. Amen.
Him tonight. He's worthy of all of our praise. We come here to glorify his name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved except Jesus Christ. Amen. I got a couple of praise reports. It says we want to thank the Lord for the operation my son had this week. Everything went well. Thank you for all your prayers as well, brother and sister Zavala. Amen. And then from Brother Daniel, Sister Grace, it says, God bless you. We want to take this time to thank our Lord and Savior for a safe journey to and from Kenya. Thank you for all your prayers. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We'd like to say welcome to Brother Richard and his wife, Brother Richard Eaton. God bless you. Sister Carrie's cousin. Amen. Amen. He does missionary work in Mexico for the glory of God. I like seeing the old soldiers keep pressing the battle. He hasn't retired. He's looking for his retirement in heaven. Amen. We thank God for men like that. And his wife. Amen. Amen. Lord willing, now, we're just going to sing a little bit more. I love him, and we're going to invite Brother Steve Francis from South Africa to come and minister. You just pull on the gift. Let God speak to your heart. And love him. Love the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Let's just sing as Brother Steve comes.
I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. I love it.
Come and speak the intelligence of a man, but come and declare the mind of Christ, amen. That which is necessary for our amen. Daily growth in Christ, amen. And pray that God will be with us tonight. It's an honor and a privilege to be here again to minister to you the word of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn together with me to Psalm 24. Verses 1 to 5. We'll be taking several scriptures tonight, but let's go to Psalm 24, verses 1 to 5, and then pick up a few scriptures in the book of Exodus 29 and 30, and then bring it down to St. John 13. Psalm 24, 1 to 5. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you once again as we approach you in the name that has been given above every other name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear God, that you're no second person in the Trinity. You're not two Jesuses. You're just the one living God. We are here to worship you, to praise you, and to magnify your name. Dear God, even as we have read these scriptures, we know that any man can read scriptures. But we depend upon the presence of the Holy Spirit to take these scriptures we have read, to break it down to our hearts, O God, that it might not just be some intellectual thing, but Father, that it might become a living reality within us, O God. May the word become flesh in us once again. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. May you come once again that you touch the sick and afflicted. For indeed you are still Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals all of our diseases as you promised. Come and meet every backslider if there be any. If there's any lost, may you save them. If there's any hungry, may you feed them. We thank you for these things, dear God. May you bless us tonight, our precious pastor of this church, O God, and the faithful officers, O God. We pray that you'd be with each one. And may you bless the laity also. We thank you for all things. May you be with us now in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may take your seats. Just a very simple subject this evening. I'm going to speak on foot washing. And we're going to entitle our thought tonight, Approaching God Through Foot Washing. And of course we know that it is always important to know how to approach God, because if we don't have the correct approach, we won't get any benefits from Him. And of course we know the typical example. When Bartimaeus wanted something from Jesus, he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and gave him back his sight. He was a Jew, a Hebrew, and he called him Jesus, thou son of David. Then a Syrophoenician woman, who was a Gentile, a Greek woman, She said the same words, "Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he just kept going. He didn't stop. Then she got desperate and she said, "Lord." And when she said, "Lord," then he stopped. You see, because of the Jew, he is son of David. The Gentiles, Lord. So the correct approach to God will reap the benefits of whatever you have need of. So nobody could just approach God without observing an order of approach. And we know that God means an object of worship, which means God wants to be worshipped. He wants fellowship. Amen. And God has done all of these things, and there is a provided way in which we come to Him. Prophet said, "Will the bride have a revival?" He said, "It's going on right now." Amen. The question is it still going on in my heart? Yeah. The same deliverance, the same victory. And how can I overcome? He said, we must not let the spirit of revival die. We've got to keep in revival, constantly revived every day. And he quoted Paul, said, "I die daily." So we must not let revival die. Now, revival is not just signs and wonders. Revival is, because that's not revival. Revival is to bring back something to life. Amen. That's what revive means, to quicken, to bring something back to life. So a revival actually takes place in your life personally. When we see others doing some things, we must say, "Oh, what a revival. There's got to be the revival in me." Amen. So we must approach God to keep the revival fires going. Because remember, it is death not to enter into His presence. Amen. In the old days, if anybody went behind the veil, they died. And today, because the veil is torn in two, and if you're not able to go behind the veil now, you're going to die. Amen. So we got to be shut in with God. Now notice the psalmist says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" Question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? The answer, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. So remember, you got to use your hands to wash your feet. Amen. And in order for us to approach Him, He first reveals Himself. There's no such a thing as, let me use my imagination, does He look like this or does He look like that? God reveals Himself to His children, shows us exactly who He is. He declares His nature. He shows us His ways, and He does that through His prophets. Amen. Because a prophet manifests God. And he shows His nature, His mercy, His judgments, His love, all of those things. And we must know Him first before we approach Him. Because the Bible says, Hebrews 11, 6, "He that cometh must believe that He is." Amen. Amen. So it's not just, I heard the name Jesus and He is God and so on. No, you've got to have a personal revelation. Amen. Of who He is. That's how you come to approach God. And of course we know the greatest revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And a prophet comes to make God known to the people. And when the people see God displayed in the ministry of a prophet, they gather around and then they decide whether they want to serve God or not. And when that is done, then God raises a priest. We're talking about the Old Testament now. When the prophet is there, then God raises a priest to take the people to God, because remember, a prophet is always God's mouthpiece to the people. And a priest is the people's mouthpiece to God. In other words, when God wants to say something, He won't speak through a priest. He will say through a prophet. And if a sacrifice has to be made, the prophet doesn't make it, the priest will make it. Offer to God because he represents the people as the prophet represents God. Amen. So the priest, he prays, he intercedes, he gives an atonement, and he does all of those things on the behalf of the people. So watch, we're speaking about this order that God is manifesting or showing us. And through this, we want to speak about how we approach God through foot washing. Notice after the fall, after Adam had fallen in the Garden of Eden, individuals represented themselves before God. Men like Abel and Enoch and others like that, that they were Jared and all of them, they would approach God directly, representing themselves, because there was nobody to represent them. And neither did they represent others. They went before God themselves. They built altars. They worshiped. They made sacrifices. And they went on in this way until they became families. And when they became families, we notice the first man, Noah, represented his family, because he became the priest to his household. And the family believed Noah. And they went into the ark. And when he came out, he built an altar and sacrificed for his family. That's why he became a priest to his household. We notice in the book of Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, that Job sacrificed for his children. He thought, just in case, there must have been something wrong. So Job thought, well, I'm not going to lose my kids. I'm not going to let them go their own way. I'm going to make sacrifices on their behalf. So the Bible says Job sacrifice for his children. And it continued on this way through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we notice even the Gentiles, the nations, the heathens, they also had priests. Amen. And the priest would represent the entire nation, like the Bible calls Jethro, the priest of Midian. He was the priest of the Midianites. So God continued with his people from individuals to families and then to a church. Israel in Egypt. Amen. Because we know the book of Acts, the Bible called Israel in Egypt the church in the wilderness. So God made himself known through a prophet now, through Moses. And when the Israelites saw the signs and what God was doing through this prophet, they rejoiced because they knew that God had visited them. Amen. And we notice at that stage, when Moses was in Egypt, the children of Israel did not see the pillar of fire. Neither did the hear God in person, as they had learned from their forefathers. They didn't. But they saw God being displayed through a prophet, through Moses. They saw the nature, the character of God in Moses. And when they saw this, the people were moved to worship. But God told Moses, when you bring the people out, you bring them back to this mountain. Because they got to come here to worship me. And then what did God do after Moses displayed God to the people? And God coming down in the presence of the pillar of fire and cloud and so on. And then God chose Aaron to be a priest. To approach God on behalf of the people. Now, if you could turn with me to Exodus 29. verses 1 to 4. Just a very simple subject tonight, just to help us on this journey along the road. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened tempered with oil and wafers, unleavened anointed with oil of wheat and flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shalt wash them with water. Amen. So God was showing how we had to be approached. He didn't just say to Moses, all right, yes, Aaron is going to be the priest and the priest is going to go down with his children, the Aaronic order, and Eleazar and different ones, and tell them whenever there's a need, they must just come and just bring it over and represent the people and so forth. No, no, God specified an approach. So which means you just cannot get into the presence of God just anyhow you feel like. Amen, because in these days, the death is not physical, it is spiritual. That's the last plague that has hit the church, like it did Israel in Egypt. Or rather, Egypt, the last plague that struck them. How you get into His presence, amen, to have an audience with Him, we will see this through this very simple approach through foot washing. Now I want you to notice that Aaron was the older brother of Moses. And God says in verse number 4 of Exodus 29, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shall wash them with water. Now, Aaron knew exactly how to have a bath. So did his sons. And of course, all of us, when we take a bath, we do it in private. And now God is telling Moses, now you bring Aaron to the door of the tabernacle. And it's going to be in public. And I want you to give Aaron a bath and to his sons also. Bring them to the door of the tabernacle because this is the preparation to approach God, to enter into His divine presence. Now you will notice that Moses would enter into the Shekinah glory. He would go behind the veil and he would come back with, thus saith the Lord, the glory of God shining upon his face. But Aaron couldn't go like that. The priest had to go because he was representing the people. And he had to go behind the veil, take the blood and offer it to Almighty God. Amen. And now notice, God never told Moses, I want you to take a bath. I want you to do this or you to do that. No, God says, Moses, come, I want to talk to you. And he would give Moses, thus saith the Lord, he said, go and tell the people. But when it came to Aaron, he said, I want you to get him and his sons to the door of the tabernacle in public, before the congregation, and give him a bath. Aaron may have been clean, maybe he just had a bath. But you see, he didn't have a bath by Moses. He may have had his own. But you see, the word of that hour, which is Moses, had to wash the priesthood and clothe them. Amen. Notice, In verse 5, he said, thou shalt take the garments and put them on Aaron. He didn't say take it and give it to him and let him put it on. He said, you put it on. So the prophet is not just giving him a bath, but also dressing him. And Aaron could have protested and said, Moses, I'm your older brother. I know how to dress. I know how to bath. What's going on? No, he could not question what the prophet was doing. Because this was the given responsibility to the prophet of God to wash and clothe the priesthood before he could enter into the presence of God. Now, what about you and I then? The Bible tells us we are the royal priesthood. In Revelation 5, when the seals were open, when the saints were worshiping the Almighty God, and one of the things they said was, you have made us unto our God kings and priests. So if we are priests, now notice, the Bible does not say you made us prophets, but you made us kings and priests. Amen. And if we are kings and priests, then brother and sister, there is an order of approach to the Almighty God. We are a royal priesthood, which means like Aaron, we need to be washed, we need to be dressed. We know the Aaronic priesthood had given way to the Melchizedek order. Amen. We know Melchizedek was king and priest. The same as the bride in Revelation 5, when the seals are open, she's king and priest. Amen. So notice, we, the royal priesthood, we have to be washed by the waters of the Word. We got to be dressed by the Word. And that's the only way we can have an audience with Almighty God. We're not talking about a kind of relationship where you come once in a while and say this and say that and maybe a little prayer. We're talking about a genuine relationship. Uzziah tried. Uzziah was a king. And he tried to approach God by doing the job of a priest. He went into the presence of God and he began to offer incense, and the priesthood stopped him, and he got angry, and the Bible says, and God struck him with leprosy on his head. And he died a leper. You see, because not anybody could do that. There has to be a proper order of approach. Otherwise, God cannot accept it. Amen. Jeroboam also tried. Remember that? And how God caused his arm to wither. You see, we believe that as the church of the living God, the royal priesthood, we believe that we are washed in the bleeding word. And clothed with the message of the hour. Which is the revealed word of God. Notice the prophet crying out, oh, that he will crown my ministry by letting me take the clothes of his word and dress his bride. Amen. Aaron could not approach God if Moses hadn't washed him. Because if he went in, he would die. Because everything had to be done exactly as God stated in his word. And the proper approach had to be done so that God could accept that priesthood. Amen. We had to have a true prophet before we could have a true priesthood. And remember, as the priesthood, if you take your eyes off the prophet who has the word to keep you clean, then there is no hope. Because the message brings us to that oneness with God. Because Jesus promised that that day you shall know that I am in you, you are in me, and we are one. Amen. Now, I just want to say this, that we are in this grace of revelation, where we are now beyond the flying eagle. There were four living creatures around the throne, but there were five living creatures in heaven. Is that right? According to the Bible. Four living creatures, which was the lion, the ox, the man, and the flying eagle. And there was a fifth living creature in Revelation 5 called the Lamb. Amen. And he said, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. So it was a living creature in heaven. And that Lamb had to go beyond the four living creatures. Because remember the lion, the anointing of the lion came in the first three church ages. The ox age came in the four churches of Thyatira. The man anointing came upon the fifth and the sixth, which was Sardis and Philadelphia. And the flying eagle came in the anointing with the anointing in the Laodicean church age to take the bride out. And now we are no longer in Laodicea. We are now in the bride age. And I want you to notice the flying eagle took us out and introduced us to the Lamb. So now was the bride and the Lamb. Now, that's even in the scriptures. Because if you notice in the Gospel of St. John, when John was baptizing the people and so on, when he had the great big service there at the River Jordan, and he said to the audience out there, behold the Lamb of God. And John is an eagle prophet. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And nobody even paid attention to him. But in verse 36 and 37, the Bible says, and John said to his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. And the Bible says, and they left him and they followed Jesus. You see why people call you Branhamites? You're supposed to be with the Lamb now. God sent a prophet to take you out, introduce you to the Lamb. And now was the Lamb and the Bride. And we had to have a true prophet. Otherwise, we will not have a perfect priesthood. We would not know how to approach God. Amen. And there is no prophet in the denominations, and that is why they cannot produce a clean ministry. All they can talk about is money, great big programs, doing this, doing that, and private jets and all of those things. And I'm not trying to say things against it, but I'm saying, I mean, that's a far cry from what the Bible teaches us. Why are they in that condition? Because they are refusing the washing of the water by the word. How then can they have an audience with God? In the genuine church of the living God, I believe the revival is going on. You love him tonight? The prophet said, you know, he said, we rub shoulders with the world and bring those influences sometimes into the church. He said, and it paralyzes the move of God. Achan had to be excommunicated under the ministry of Joshua before the church could go on. He didn't take the thing there and say, all right, it's okay, let's just keep going on. He excommunicated him. The prophet said, if we don't do that, he said, then one cancer would lead to another and the whole church becomes cankered. You see, we don't come to church to start a fire. But we bring the fire with us. And we come to keep this fire burning brighter. So notice, let's go back to this order. Moses brought them to the door and he washed them. Then they laid their hands on the bullock, which was slain. They were sprinkled with the blood, and the priest the rest of that blood was poured on the altar. And then the ram was taken and killed. Now we read that in Exodus 29, verses 1 to 4. It was a burnt offering. And the blood was poured on the altar. Now that's all of that was done. Showing how Christ himself became a burnt offering for us. And here we are now coming to approach him. So to begin with, like we said, Moses first had to wash them to put them into service. The message is our cleansing. Amen. That is if we are prepared to be washed. You can refuse if you want. Aaron could have refused if he wanted. And he could have just said to Moses, well, look, I've seen God. I've seen the wonderful things happen in the land of Egypt. And I've seen the signs and wonders. And I myself was a spokesman on your behalf because, the Lord said that I should be your prophet and you'll be a God to the people and so on like that. And I've seen these things, and why do I need to be washed? Well, God said it. And God was showing an order at that time in the natural, but today in the spiritual. Showing us how God had to allow Moses to take literal water and wash the priesthood. And today, spiritually speaking, the Bible says we are washed in the waters of his word. Amen. Not literal water, but wash in the waters of his word. And remember, the word comes to a prophet. Amen. Outside of that, we don't have the correct thing. And if Aaron could not do it himself, and Moses had to do it, neither can we today do it ourselves. So Aaron and his sons had to yield to the word to be washed. And remember, brothers and sisters, if you could just even look at it in your mind's eye, Aaron and his sons standing before the congregation at the door of the tabernacle, right in public view. Moses tells them, take off your clothes. I want to give you a bath. That's what God said. And they did not protest. They took off their clothes and Moses gave them a bath in public. And then Moses takes the garments of the priesthood and he dresses them. Now you are ready to approach God. Amen. They just had to yield to the word to be washed. But today we spend time and effort fussing and stewing and end up getting nowhere instead of yielding and saying, God, here I am. I've tried. I wanted to wash myself. And because I wanted to wash myself, I wanted to stop drinking. I wanted to stop smoking. I wanted to stop lying and cheating. You see, because if I can do that, why do I need God? I cannot do it myself. I need God and I need his approach. In the natural, God didn't want it that way. They had to wash their hands, wash their feet, and come and approach the Almighty God. And in a brass laver, because brass represents judgment, amen, God taking judgment upon himself on our behalf, but we got to accept that judgment that God took on our behalf so that we will be able to approach God in the correct way. And I want to say this, that God knows our shortcomings. He knows our failings. He knows the human nature that we have. He knows the sticky nature we have sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, He has provided us with water to wash our hands and feet and enter into the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. So when we're doing our foot washing service, it's not just, I mean, when Jesus did in St. John 13, we'll close with that in just a little while. When Jesus did the foot washing service in St. John 13, it wasn't because the disciples' feet were dirty. Because remember, according to the biblical ways, before anybody entered into the home, there was a foot washing flunky. They would be at the door washing their feet and putting the perfume all over them and so on like that so that they could come into the house, because they walked and there was cow dung everywhere and all kinds of droppings here and there and dirt everywhere. There was no roads like we have today and so on, and they had dirt all over them and they would smell, and then they would come into the home and they had to have a foot washing flunky first to wash their feet, wash them up, and then put some perfume all over the neck so that the host could come and hug them on the, and kiss them on the neck and so on like that. That was like bringing them into fellowship. Now Jesus did not do that in St. John 13. Because here the Bible said the supper being ended. After they went into the house, they were fellowshipping, and they broke bread and all of those things. And after supper being ended, then Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And as you know, because you do it, Jesus said, if I have done this, you call me Master and Lord, and you've done well because I am your Master and Lord. If I, your Master and Lord, have done this, you ought to do this to one another.
Amen.
So we do that in the natural, but what does foot washing represent? When you're washing somebody's feet, you are praying for them and asking God to bless them, and whatever the needs might be, whatever the desires might be, you are just praying earnestly, just to pray for that person, the brother, the sister, whoever you're doing that to. What are you doing? You're presenting them to God.
Amen.
And you're not doing it with that physical water. We're talking about the message of the hour. We're talking about the revelation of the word with which you are. Even though physically we are using water, but we are being washed in the waters of His Word.
Amen.
Again, let me repeat that Moses never bathed Aaron every time. He only did it once. And when you repent and you get born again, you only get born again once. You're not born again and again and again. You're not born again today and you lose it and you come back next week and get it again. You're not born again today and you backslide. If you backslide, you never were born again to begin with. Amen. Once you receive the new birth, there's no turning back. Once you are born again, you don't want you lose the desire for the world. Amen. When you receive the new birth, you don't give up smoking. You don't give up drinking. You don't give up lying and cheating. Those things give you up.
Amen.
Amen. The prophet said you can live a life that is so close to God until the devil does not know what to do with you.
Amen.
Having said that, we do make mistakes. We speak things wrong. We think things wrong and make wrong judgments here and there. We do that because we are human, but we have the waters of the Word to wash our hands and feet. Not to be born again, but to wash ourselves to come into the presence of the Almighty God. So which means you can ask God to forgive you. You know, a son of God on earth has more authority than an angel in heaven. Amen. Notice the priest entering into the presence of God depended on the prophet. It was a fearful thing. When the priest would walk, the people would gather at the tent door. The priest walking with the blood singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the congregation will be praying, trusting God, "Oh God, just accept that blood on our behalf." Waiting to see if he would come back alive. It was such a fearful thing. They would tie a rope to the priest's leg when he would go behind the veil, and if they would not hear the clinging sound between the pomegranate and the bell that was on the phylacteries of the priests, and as he would walk, it would make that sound. And if it didn't make a sound, that means the priest is not walking. It means he's dead. And they couldn't go behind the veil. They would die too, so they pull him out of the rope. You know they did that. You see, it was such a fearful thing to enter into the presence of God. But when the priest comes out, then the congregation has a shouting time. There's a shout that goes forth from the congregation because their representation has been accepted. We're closing in just a little while. Sometimes the Holy Ghost gets a hold of a minister and makes him bring a rebuke to the congregation. And when he does, sometimes the people says, "You know what, I think I'm not saved." That's not it. God is just asking you to fix that little thing. That one little thing. He's telling you, wash your hands and feet. You already have been bathed by the waters of the word. When the minister brings this cutting message or rebuke to the congregation, all he's asking you to do is fix the thing up. Amen. And the manner in which God works today. A minister can come behind the pulpit and he doesn't even know what your problem is. But then he preaches as if he was sitting in your house the night before. It's as if he heard your conversation. And then thoughts must not race through your mind and you try to imagine maybe somebody told him. Instead, you should raise your hands up and say, "God, you ministered to me. You are here to help me. And what the pastor preached just brought me into such a presence right now. And all I want to do, Lord, is just wash my hands and feet. I want to fix up this thing and get on with you. It's such a wonderful thing just to make right and just to be present, to be enjoying the divine presence of the Almighty God." Amen. So remember, if we are not that way, if we are not willing to wash, then what are we doing? We're piling up dirt. Until it comes to a stage where you just become immune to everything. And where does it put you? We don't come to church to get angry with the preacher when we are being corrected. We accept correction as children of God. Amen. And we believe the word that we are forgiven. Amen. Now, notice, in St. John 13, we're closing with this now. In St. John 13, Jesus does foot washing. And when it comes to Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And remember, these disciples already had the commission to go and preach. And when Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me," Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." In other words, just give me a bath, not just my hands and feet. Jesus said in verse 10, "He that is washed," like Aaron was in Exodus 29, "needeth not save to wash his feet, but he's clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all." He was talking about Judas Iscariot. So he's telling Peter, he says, now, You want me to wash your hands and your feet and your head and everything? No, no, no. He said, that's already been done. He that is washed does not need to have that done again. But just your feet. You see what foot washing represents? You see why it's such an important service? You see why Brother Branham said it's just one of the best times when he would have communion and foot washing, and what an awesome presence would come in the congregation. So Jesus fulfills the shadow of Exodus 29 and 30 exactly when he performed what he did in St. John 13. Notice Judas was washed, but he was not clean. You know why? Because he never believed completely. He was a thief from the beginning. He could not come to the subjection of the word. It was always, why this? Why that? We could have used the money for this. We could have bought that. And it's always, and you get these Judases in the churches. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why can't they just surrender themselves and enjoy the presence of God? And today people say, I think the prophet was wrong. I don't think he meant it like this. It was okay in his day, but today it's different. And some say, that's just one thing about the message I can't believe. The question is, who's the prophet? Are you? Or was it him? You see, this is the reason why these people can never get victory. They are forever fussing and stewing and complaining and so on. How are we cleaned today? St. John 15, Jesus said, you are clean by the word. Amen. Amen. And the word comes to the prophet. We are cleansed by that word to enter into the Shekinah glory. And notice how people try to separate the prophet from the priesthood. It won't work. Moses went to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people got together and they forgot about the prophet, and they said to the priest, as for this prophet, we don't know what happened to him. Maybe the wild animals have eaten him up. And you, priest, why don't you make us a god? See what they did? They took the eyes of the prophet. And what happened was they went into idolatry. And brother and sister, we cannot afford to stay away from the word of the hour. Amen. We cannot separate from the messenger. Turning down the messenger is turning down God. Amen. So what is it today? What does foot washing mean to you? And let's stand together. What does foot washing really mean? And remember, according to St. Paul in Ephesians 5, he said, we are washed by the waters of his word. Amen. We wash by the waters of his word, and now we thank God for that. But at the same time, even though God has washed us, having taken the clothes of his word, the opening of the word, and brought it and clothed this bride today. But remember, having clothed us, having washed us, we still make mistakes. And for those things, we have a brass laver with water in it that was poured in by a prophet. That you might have a foot washing service every time you come into the house of the Lord. Amen. Whatever went on today, rub shoulders with the world, did this and did that, whatever it is. Don't say, I'm not born again. If you're truly born again, you've received the message of the hour without question, you believe it with all your heart. Amen. And you still make mistakes, God has provided a brass laver for you. Not for you to receive the new birth again, but so that you might just fix up the thing that has been wrong. Shall we bow our heads for a few moments? As we bow our heads tonight and close our eyes, and let's just sing this little chorus again. Only believe, all things are possible. The prophet said every time we'd sing the song, he said the angel of the Lord will be present. And I pray tonight, same angel is here. Amen. And all you got to do tonight is just only believe. Amen. Whatever it is. And I know it's just a very simple thought tonight, but I pray that it would help us to search our souls, to understand the importance of the revealed word of the hour, and to see how God, by His tender mercy, has clothed us with this tremendous opening of the word. And having done that, we know that we still have a sticky nature. But God has provided us that water again, so that we might wash our hands and feet. And may we have a spiritual foot washing service here tonight. And that we will fix up those things in the presence of Almighty God. Just believe it with all your heart. Only believe. But only believe that all things are possible. But only just raise your hand and sing, Lord, I believe. My Lord, I tonight you want to say, please pray for me, won't you just raise up your hands? Say, I have the conviction in my heart that the message of the hour is God's truth that has bathed me and dressed me. And that same truth is here tonight to help me in my shortcomings. In my failures, that I could get my hands and my feet washed, that I might enjoy the divine presence of the Shekinah glory behind that veil. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see your children tonight, O God. You see the need that is in the heart. It doesn't have to be spoken, because you said, even before it is spoken, you already know it, O God. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I humbly ask you tonight to bless your children. Father, we pray that you'd come and bless this church in a great and mighty way. We're not talking about blessing it in numbers, O God, but in the very quality of your word, O God, that the people might grow, Father, in the things that God has been delivering to them. Thank you for your humble servant, O God, that you have here tonight. May you bless him, his ministry, O God, and every member of this congregation and every minister that there might be here, Lord, and every officer in this church we commit into your hands, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you'd be with each one and bless them. We thank you for these things tonight. We humbly ask you to be with us and bless us, gracious Lord. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give you praise for it, Lord. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. Oh, Jesus is here.
Are possible, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Each time we come to the house of God, the Word speaks about being washed by the water, by the Word. When the Word of God comes, it begins to wash you. It doesn't unchristianize you. It doesn't take your birth away. Remember, the devil can't change your birth. Once you're born again, he can't take it away. Once a child is born into the world, it can never go back in the womb again. It's impossible. And just as that's impossible, the devil cannot take your birth away. It's impossible. You should have faith in God that once God gave you that new birth, you got trials, you got problems, but God washed you. Amen. You ever feel like you not where you want to be? You ever feel like you struggle sometimes? Doesn't mean you lost your birth. It means you're in a battle. You stand up and you say, Lord Jesus, drive your stake down and say, Lord, I remember where you called me at. I remember when you placed me, oh God. And I say to you, I believe with all my heart. I still got my birth. The devil's a liar. I'm still a son and daughter of God. We have the power to speak the word and put the devil away from us. If you can just accept that tonight. Because you've been washed by the water of the word of the hour. You can take that same word now and wash your hands. Wash them dirty hands from being in the world. Them feet from walking in the wrong dry places. Seeing the power of God walk with you wherever you go. Stand fast in the word of God. Believe him regardless of what the devil tells you. Amen. And he'll be sure that somebody will tell you. It's the devil in disguise. Amen. There's a song we've sung through the years. It's an old Pentecostal song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know where that song is in the book by chance? Are you washed in the blood? Or I can't remember how the song goes exactly. That song reminds me of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. If not, we'll just sing what little bit I can get. You got it? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside those garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? One more time. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Give him praise. Amen. Amen. We know that in Revelation 5, it was the Lamb who took the book. And what are you supposed to do? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. The greatest thing you can do is give your all for Jesus Christ. I got a little paper over my kitchen door that I see when I'm sitting in my chair in the kitchen. It says, today I give my all for Jesus Christ. Just a reminder that the reason I'm even in this earth is for the glory of God. It's not for wealth. It's not for finery. But it's for serving Jesus Christ. Who can you reach to that they understand that you're here on a mission for the glory of God? And that mission is to find that last seed so that we can get out of here. Pledge your allegiance to Jesus Christ that you can take a hold of the Lamb every day of your life. Serve Him with all your heart. He is our Lamb. He gave us the life that we have. The blood that He shed on Calvary's tree. Go in Jesus' name as we sing this song. Shake hands one with another. Bid them God bless you till we meet again. Amen. Brother Richard, God bless you. Thank you for coming by, you and your wife. Amen. Go in Jesus' name.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all